general nerdery.
Hi everybody, Tyler here. I got a little bit behind on editing this week, so instead of dropping two episodes 30 hours apart from each other, these past two trailer episodes have been combined into one long one. Enjoy.
It never fails. They announced that tomorrow, we're getting the trailer for the new Star Wars show.
Right, so we'll talk about that next week.
The one we've been looking forward to.
You'll hear everybody else talk about it first, but we will be getting to it. This is when we can get together.
Yeah, it's that'll be the Acolyte, so that's evil Star Wars. The bad guy's the good guy.
I mean, the poster treatment is already dope.
Yeah, no, it's just a lightsaber, but instead of the blade, it's just like a blood streak.
That's baller.
Yeah, it's about it's following a Sith. Anyways, welcome to trailers.
We're not going to be watching that trailer till next week.
So I don't know how this episode's going to go because, to be honest, I found most of these trailers pretty forgettable. We watched...
Yeah.
Let's see if I can even do this. The Crow.
Yes, we watched
that. Rebel Moon Part 2.
Yep.
The Johnny Knoxville movie whose name I don't remember.
Sweet Dreams. Sweet Creams, right? The movie is Sweet Dreams, and it was a mess up on their jersey.
I'm never not calling it Sweet Creams.
And Runa?
Ronya.
The Robber's Daughter.
Okay.
I'm Steven, by the way.
That's Steven. I'm Zach. That's Tyler.
That is Steven.
This is the worst intro we've done in a long time. Okay. Where do we want to start?
I don't care.
Rebel Moon. Because we just talked about Star Wars, so here's the thing that literally was supposed to be Star Wars, but Star Wars didn't want it.
I mean, look, I still haven't watched the first part.
Me neither.
Same.
I still want to. Just not a lot.
I was going to say, I don't know if I want to. I am willing to.
Same. That's the camp I'm in. I would watch it. I'm not gonna unless someone makes me.
If
you guys want to cover it for fucking general nerdery, we'll cover it and I'll watch it then. That's some homework I'll do. But like beyond that, I'm okay.
I just mentally, as much as I still enjoy all of his movies, I run more and more into the problem with Snyder's work that like he's not making the movies look like that on purpose. He's not trying to have a certain style. He just legitimately thinks that everything that 14-year-olds think is cool is in fact the coolest thing on earth.
That's part of it.
I mean, he's not wrong to an extent.
Except for like every haircut in this goddamn trailer.
Right.
Yeah, he's never been good for like, I've never would think of him as like a fashion icon or like a fashion forward or like someone who's that, really in vogue. The haircuts here are not
his fault. Don't get me wrong.
I do think a lot of his movies are quote unquote cool. I still did the air quotes. You can't see it, but
I realize I watch Marvel movies and Star Wars and stuff, but like he is all style, no substance.
See, it looks cool in the same way that stories in heavy metal are cool. He just doesn't realize that that's the story he's making.
Yeah, that might be it. He's like, heavy metal has an awareness that this is like some kind of goofy baller shit.
Oh, he thinks he's making Star Wars, but he's just making heavy metal.
Yeah.
But he's not, because if he was making heavy metal, he would be making heavy metal.
Or 2000 AD.
Mm-hmm.
Like Judge Dredd works because there's a level of awareness of Judge Dredd, but he would play it 100% straight.
Also, I just personally, this is not the week for me to be talking about a Zack Snyder trailer because I am still pissed at Snyder Bros at going after Grant Morrison this weekend.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
I missed the context.
Okay, so Zack Snyder went on, I think, fucking Rogan, but somewhere.
Gross.
And
yeah, it was Rogan.
Gross.
I don't love Rogan, but I understand that he is a major, like, if you're trying to advertise work, there's few better places in the world to go talk. I'm not saying it's a good thing. Okay, you know what? Moving on.
Understood. we can move along.
Anyways.
I'll keep my opinions to myself.
You know I agree with you. he had a thing of like, Batman should be allowed to kill. Because he was told, okay, you can't, like, Batman can't kill in your movie. And he's like, but now I want Batman to kill.
Because you're a fucking child.
That's kind of the, like, you should be able to deconstruct your heroes. And we're like, well, okay, but I get that. But also, we're trying to build a superhero universe here. Starting with deconstructing your heroes is not a way to go.
Yeah, and like, this is like if they fucking were making a Superman movie and said, you can't show full frontal nudity of Superman.
And they're like, now I want to show his balls. Yes, like, this is what basically
Zack Snyder was doing. Yes, I do want to see his taint up close, but like, just because you put that in my brain doesn't mean you need to put that on film.
Anyways, so he was making the argument that you should be able to, like, try different things with a character. And I don't 100% disagree with him, but I also don't agree. Like,
in general, the idea is, like, I'm okay with the idea. The way he was putting it forth, you're just like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And you don't. Also, it's just like, cool, like, so make him kill. Now it's interesting. Like, if he can't kill, make him kill. And you're like, what do you think, like, 80% of Batman stories are? It's putting him in a situation where it looks like that's his only recourse. And then he finds out a way anyway.
And that's like the hook.
That's a good writer.
That's Batman. So like, you're just not getting Batman if you're wanting to make him kill at that point. I feel like there's probably stories where you could do alternate timelines, alternate realities, whatever.
Let's be honest, you can't make Batman kill. Like, now I have to make him kill is the most tired fucking take, because we've seen Batman kill plenty of times.
Exactly.
I might not kill you, but I don't have to save you. And then he flies off in the plane that you're purposely crashing. Sorry, Bruce, but that, you killed him.
That's murder. manslaughter at best. But also, like, it shows a complete unawareness to his medium he's working in. And that, like, movies are fucking huge. They require so many moving parts. And are kind of only conducive to telling certain types of stories. Deconstructing a long-running character, maybe you should have a long run of that character before you start deconstruct them.
Now, I guess, in fairness, you could say we have had, like, 12 Batman movies. But
are you saying all 12 of those are the same Batman franchise? I guess my point with...
I know. No, yeah, either way. Anyways, Grant Morrison then went forward being like, we should let heroes be heroes. Like, those stories matter. That character, I don't remember the specific details, but it was,
I mean, it was basically, they basically ended up landing on the point, like, look, that's the line that Bruce draws in the sand. Like, Batman doesn't kill. And we can debate over whether, like, him killing his enemies or not would make them as bad as they are, like he thinks they are. And like, there's argument, you know, there's different arguments to be made about that, but in his mind he's made up that argument and he knows what side of the line he stands on, so you have to stay true to that portion of the character.
Yeah,
just trying to find the quote. I'm not seeing it, but anyways.
And then the Snyder Bros came at Grant Morrison calling them a hack and all sorts of shit. And I'm like, this is the writer that made Batman partially complicit in creating Space Hitler.
Wait, which time?
Exactly.
No, who are we thinking of as Space Hitler in this one?
The one storyline, when we went over the JLA run where they have to create the one, I can't remember his name, one enemy that they know is going to be around for like 50,000 years.
Solaris the Tyrant Son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he brings a shit like Solaris the Tyrant Son, which is everything it promises to be. It is a star that is a supervillain.
Cool as fuck.
Named the Tyrant Son. Like,
God, yeah, it's just like, that's another fucking thing I don't care for, is that level of fandom for anybody. It makes me uncomfortable.
I will say, in the same interview, he talked a little bit about it. He's like, I don't understand why my movies provoke such strong reactions. And he kind of meant the, like, insane negative responses that some of his movies get. But I kind of wonder if he's also aware of this, like,
aware of the fact that, like, I make all right movies, guys.
I make really pretty movies that have very little to them. And, like, the level that his movie fans are like Trump's hardcore supporters, but for a director instead of a fascist, which I will take any day of the week.
Oh, yes, please. I'd much rather have you be doing that. Yeah. But also at the same time, he's just a fucking man.
And let's be honest. His DC movies were okay at best.
He's just a guy. He's just a little guy. I'm sorry, but like, he's just a guy.
His zombie movies are supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah. I really love Dawn of the Dead.
Well, and even his most recent one with Dave Bautista was supposed to be.
It looked like a lot of fun.
Oh, so Army of the Dead.
It. Yeah.
It's pretty fun. It combines a heist and zombie movie in a really good way.
Yeah.
Plus, fucking mad respect for the digitally removing Chris D'Elia to replace with Tig Notaro. I was like, okay, I'm going to watch that. And I did. And it was very enjoyable.
Anyways, Rebel Moon Part 2.
Looks great, but also don't care.
So, okay, as we said, it was supposed to be Star Wars. Like, he literally talked to Disney being like, let me make your sequel series. I will do an adult take on Star Wars, which is how we got the David Lynch Dune movie. And in fairness, Tyler and I love the David Lynch Dune movie, but like adult Star Wars kind of misses the point, with the exception of like Andor. But even then, you have to play it real carefully.
The term adult Star Wars has never worked for me in that, like,
it does sound like a porn parody.
It feels like you're taking it way farther than it needs to be, considering the original trilogy are pretty fucking heavy. I mean, the third one, you get the fucking Ewoks, and it's definitely toned down a little bit more.
Yeah,
don't feel good about how much I love the Ewoks, but
that does remind me, the one thing in the trailer that stood out to me that I'm intrigued by is I want to know the story behind the droid wearing the fucking druid headdress getting into a giant firefight.
Yeah,
that voiced by Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the biggest thing.
The cast is incredible in these movies.
Yeah. Jimon Hanso himself is enough to almost like pull me in.
What this movie made me think of, because when it came out, a lot at first everyone's like, it's going to be cool Star Wars. I'm like, well, that's just Star Wars.
Yeah.
But then they're like, oh, so you just wanted to make a 40K movie but couldn't get the rights? And made me think of my wife has this coworker whose name I'm not going to drop because that's not how we roll. But he's kind of a pain in the ass, and he used to be the bad kind of Star Wars fan. The like, you can't mention it around him or he'll give you 45 minutes of obnoxious takes. And then recently he told her, unironically, well, I've matured and now I have adult taste, so I've moved on to Warhammer 40K. And that sentence is what this trailer made me think of. And if you like 40K, like 40K. Don't get me wrong, but like...
I mean, yeah, exactly. I love me some 40K lore, but I get it.
And oof. It's kind of the same thing. Of the fans of 40K, not all of them, but too many of them, completely miss the like heavy metal 2000 AD tongue-in-cheek horseshit that is 40K and just take it like weird seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It looks fine.
Yeah, it looks really like a well-designed sci-fi movie. I was like, those lightsabers are real cool looking.
They look really cool.
And like that robot looks fucking bitchin'. It looks bitchin', but also like it looks completely fucking hollow to me.
The last time Zack Snyder really grabbed my attention, and I never even saw the movie, it was the trailer for Sucker Punch.
Mm.
And I don't even know if that one was good or not. I have friends that loved it and friends that hated it.
Derisive at best.
Huh?
Derisive at best.
That's fine. It's just the last time I went, interesting.
We can just continue with the edgy part of it and hit the crow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
I don't hate this trailer as much as the internet seems to.
I don't hate it. I don't know who it's for, though. I've mostly seen positive
response, but I
don't. I have not.
You and I go to different parts of the internet.
Who is this for?
It's a great question. I'm not quite sure.
It doesn't seem like it's for Crow fans. And it doesn't... I don't know this anymore, but... Didn't the American Mall die? So there's not, like, a goth community anymore. So, like, there's not... Who is this for?
Elder Goths.
Oh, there it is. The forgotten ones.
I don't... Okay, so, like... I actually don't think it looks bad.
Me either.
I would watch this. Like, if it came to Max or, like, streaming somewhere that I have accessible, I would put this on.
I'd be willing to watch this for, like, a general nerdery episode, because we did The Crow before.
Yeah. I was about to say, it's not like we haven't gone in-depth on The Crow before.
And then also,
And having done that, it doesn't look bad. Also, I'm a gigantic fan of The Crow, and I also still kind of think, like, oh, it looks good enough that I'm going to give it a shot, and I have a feeling it's going to end up being the second best Crow movie.
City of Angels only was that up to this point because the soundtrack fucking rules. But,
yeah, it looks interesting. I feel like they're, it's been a while since I've watched The Crow, so I don't have like a,
it's what Skarsgård is doing.
Yeah. This? Yeah. Bill Skarsgård.
Mm-hmm.
And
FK Twigs and Danny Houston.
Yeah. Like a really solid cast in it. A lot of good people in it.
It looks like they're giving his girlfriend a personality.
Good.
Helpful. Mm-hmm. Which she did not have in the first Crow movie. She's always been kind of a plot device because it's a revenge flick, but like.
That's the other confusing thing, though, because Stephen picked up on it, too. At one point, they say something about saving her. You'll have time to save her.
That was me, but yeah.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I did not need to say that. There was no reason for me to be like, give me credit.
I know is it came from over my right shoulder. Okay.
Both talking about it, and that you brought up that it's weird that they could save her. And I was like, maybe they mean her soul? Like,
so
her soul's lost to a void or something. I don't
know. Here's the thing that if you do not know, the original Crow comic was made after, what's his name?
James O'Barr.
After James O'Barr's girlfriend dies in what it was, in a car crash. Car crash.
I think it was like a driving accident.
Oh, shit.
And, or a hit and run or something. I don't know. But, yeah. And it was his way of processing his grief.
Oh, interesting.
And so even though I'm not a huge fan of the Crow comic itself, I really appreciate it for what it is as an artistic piece.
It is emo as fuck.
It is why the emo scene exists. And, like, I loved the Crow movie growing up. You and I watching it for General Nerdery kind of shattered my illusions about it. Like,
it's fine.
Trying to watch it more objectively, I went, this is not a great film.
Yeah, I know it mostly through like cultural zeitgeist, and like I've seen it like twice.
It is an astounding soundtrack.
And and if you're a teenager in the 90s or early 2000s,
it had a legend because of
Brendan Lee.
Brendan Lee, and
it had just that right kind of moodiness that, I don't know, maybe teens are hitting today, but like, it just doesn't feel like it would hit the same way.
Yeah, that's the only thing about it. It's just like, I don't know where this movie goes. Like, who?
I feel like it is trying to aim too high with the violence level for a teen audience.
Yeah, that's the problem. I feel like it's,
although the violence level was not rape filled. Like,
that right? I was gonna say the violence level does pull it more in line with the comic, though.
Yeah,
It looked very bloody and gory in a pretty bitchin' way, but like, it feels like that's too heavy handed of use of like people getting their faces blown off for it to play to a PG-13 audience.
Oh, it's not. I mean, that'd be insane if this movie was PG-13.
Like, it's got to be a rated R, and so I just don't. Not that it needs to have a fucking audience like it's some thing, but it's like, so it seems so out of place at the moment.
I feel like it's for like elder millennials, people that still have some of that like Gen X.
I'd be curious to know if it's a licensed property, like they're just trying to keep the license.
They've been trying to make this movie for over a decade.
Yeah, there have been some amazing names attached. I am kind of sad that some of the earlier versions did not get made.
Loki was attached at one point.
I was about to say, Tom Hiddleston was attached. At one point, Jason Momoa was attached for a little bit.
That would have been a fucking trip of a movie.
And now I'm curious to know if this is a shit or get off the pot kind of production of like.
Bradley Cooper was attached for a little bit.
That one I did not know. That's wild.
They had a script done by Nick Cave for a while.
Oh, shit.
That's the most brilliant thing I've ever heard. Nick Cave is like built for The Crow.
Yeah. That would be actually very interesting. In all honesty, I don't have anything really bad to say about it other than like, it just seems tonally like I'm uncertain where it's going to find an audience at the moment.
Oh, and Luke Evans was also attached at one point.
Millennial women, actually. Is now that I said, I was saying elder, but like, because the general response I've seen is millennial women. People who remember the old crow, but are young enough to not be like too torn to like the sacred cow of it. And there is something about Bill Skarsgård.
He's a hottie really with a body.
Set some people off.
He's a handsome fella.
I mean, he had to eat more food.
He had two trailers drop within like 10 days of each other with him showing off that like 20 pack that he has.
The other one looks so much better.
Yes. Oh, that one's way more interesting to me.
Plus I don't even remember what it was called. It's the one
boy versus world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy Kills World.
Boy Kills World. That's what it was.
And it's what H. John Benjamin is doing
the voice? Inner monologue voice. Yes. Yeah. That one looks real good.
This, I mean, look, it's The Crow. So I'm going to see this in theaters, but I don't expect to see many other people there.
I mean, let me know. I'll roll with you.
You know, okay.
I'd see this in theaters with you. I had the same
questions about the Joker movie, but I'm told that one was actually surprisingly good.
It's surprisingly all right. And surprisingly has very little to actually say after those trailers that we saw.
Yeah. It's kind of fine. It's there.
It never quite gets around to actually making a point.
It does not.
It kind of hints at a bunch of points that it wants to make.
Yeah, so anyone who's a fan of the Joker, all in one take.
Is it a Scorsese film?
No. So it was Scorsese produced mostly because from what I understand is I think the director asked really nice of the studio to use Scorsese's film crew to make it look the way it does, which basically made them put Scorsese on as an executive producer so that he would still get above the line credit and points on it for them using his film crew.
They paid him enough to get other stuff out of it.
Ah, okay.
No, it's definitely not a Scorsese film.
It looks he really well shot, but like,
oh yeah, I mean it's
but yeah.
Oh, what else did we watch? The Ronya?
Ronya.
Ronya the Robber's Daughter, which is based off of a novel series or a novel from
which we twigged on once we saw suddenly a second trailer for an animated one from 7 years ago,
which looked better. This, not to say this looks bad, but I'm more interested in the animated one because that one's a Miyazaki
adjacent.
There...
Okay, the laughing in the animated one drove me up a wall for the 2 minutes that it was on screen.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to punch those kids real fucking hard. At least I could deal with the kids in the live
action. I did not love the animation of the TV show. I still thought it looked better because this story just feels more built for animation.
Yeah.
There is a style that Netflix is doing, and they use it a lot in their anime to live action adaptations, but they also do it in their weird fantasy stuff. That doesn't quite work for me. And I haven't put my finger on what it is, but it's some of their like
CGI. They all look kind of the same, right?
Yeah.
Because this looks kind of like that Millie Bobby Brown
thing. I thought of that a lot with that.
Oh, man. I'm going to watch that damn
That one movie. Looks better.
This
one doesn't even look bad.
You know what it reminds me of? On the other side of the gap that it is, it reminds me of fucking... Beowulf.
Oh, okay.
God, I hated that movie. Okay. That might explain
the screenplay by Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, everyone misses sometimes.
That's not the bad parts there. Robert Zemeckis getting some weird fucking shit on is the problems there.
Yeah.
It's the, like, I recognize they're using CG backgrounds. A lot of people use CG backgrounds. I'm not knocking that. But they try to go for, one, always epic in scope, two, always kind of like dark, but it still ends up too clean somehow. Like they're like, there's scary things in that forest, as you'll learn or something. And like shows her in the forest. It's kind of a cool looking forest, but it doesn't look
right.
Yeah. Like anything. It's just kind of uncanny valley. Like it doesn't look like anything actually would live in that.
Yeah. Or and
like
I think,
interact in
that. I think that's what I mean by the Beowulf end of it. Like that one had too much uncanny valley in it for me of like, this is close, but not quite right. Something's wrong here.
Well, Beowulf was also far too proud of 3D, and I hated 3D movies ever after, but...
I mean, yeah, but... And Zemeckis just getting really horny for the 3D model of Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. The thing that has me kind of hopeful for this, where I might watch it and get, or at least give it a shot, it seems to be a Swedish production of a Swedish novel. And I feel like a lot of those European productions are a lot more okay with when it's like a fairy tale or folklore-ish story, leaving it feeling more like a fairy tale or folklore mm-hmm. story, with some things just kind of a little bit more up in the air and just a little bit more ethereal and breezy. And like
that style of story is a lot more in their bones and they're a lot more comfortable dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. I'm also much more interested in this as a movie than I am as a series that the Miyazaki animated one was.
We should be clear. Miyazaki's kid.
Yes. I forget his first name or it's like last name or something like that. However that works, but a Miyazaki family production.
Just with how hardline Miyazaki is about anything computer generated, the fact that his son did a computer generated movie has to be like, you have failed me.
That's the fail son in Miyazaki.
Anyways, fuck. It looks fine. It did make me think of that other one about a princess that gets fed to a dragon or something and she has to escape. Damsel. And Damsel looked better, but I can't. We've talked about this. We don't want a trailer to reveal too much, but I feel like this trailer didn't tell me fucking anything. There might be.
Oh, those brownies at the end were fucking wild.
The fact that they had no mention of I'm going to go with Hildefolk, although I think that's the wrong part of the world, although it's close.
Yeah, but you see some trolls, is what I would say. I don't know what they're actually called, but I would call
them. There's some little dudes. They either definitely trolls are influenced by troll art stuff. Yeah. But the fact that nothing leading up to that point had anything explicitly fantasy, and then look at these little spirits. Although if you look at...
I mean, the birds are pretty fucking big.
If you look at storytelling from that part of the world, too, that is a way that it rolls. Playing normal, and now there's a little dude that lives under your, oven.
But which is also normal, but it's kind of out of nowhere.
It's out of nowhere, but it's completely fine. Don't worry about it. The guy's just there, and, he's not going to do anything. He just lives under your oven. He may give you some good advice. Go chat with him. Oh, he gave you great advice. Now you just go on your normal life.
But don't cross him.
Never. Anyway, it's...
And then Sweet Dreams, Johnny Knoxville.
Probably the best looking, not the best looking, but the chances of being good is way higher with this movie, I think, than anything else we watched.
A lot of good funny names in it. It looks like it's going to be a pretty basic, not basic. I don't know how to describe this without sounding derisive about it, but it's Johnny Knoxville is a person going through rehab for drinking and is trying to get clean and starts playing softball with people that he lives at a group home with.
Because if they win, there's a chance of winning a big prize so they can save the halfway home.
Yeah, and
it's literally the fucking, kids save the summer camp, but with a bunch of drunks.
I don't know how to describe it, but it's emotional Oscar Beatty style of filmmaking. Not that this is going for an
hardball, but with drunk adults.
Yeah.
I was going with Bad News Bears, but sure. Well, you mentioned when we were driving here, you said something about feel good sports movies, and it's kind of that.
It's kind of that, but it definitely seems like it's gonna have a sadder undertone to it.
Yeah, because he's a dad in rehab.
But it also feels like it's gonna have a heartwarming ending where I imagine they win the big game.
Or, yeah, which is fine. That's, I don't.
Or if they don't win the big game, somehow they save the house. Yeah.
I feel like at worst it's going to feel generic, and at best it might actually be surprisingly emotional.
Right? I don't care for Jackass, the TV show, or the movies. I've never overly cared about them. I find Knoxville interesting.
I will say, of the people from Jackass, he's the most interesting. He's the one I'm most interested in seeing what he's doing. I didn't care for Dirty Grandpa or...
Oh, yeah.
Or the...
Whatever, the grandpa.
The grandpa one he did. That wasn't anything for me, but it's not good, but I fucking really enjoyed The Ringer.
The Ringer is, dude, I love The Ringer. I rewatched The Ringer a month ago.
Which one is The Ringer?
He has to pay off gambling debts, and so he bets on himself in the Special Olympics.
Oh my god, I blocked that movie out.
that they worked with the Special Olympics to do.
Yes. Like, there's Special Olympics corporate branding throughout this movie, and like, they do bring on special needs people who are acting and doing full roles, and it's...
And put him in his place.
And put him... Oh, they put him in his place throughout the whole movie. That's the best, most redeeming part of it, is that they find out pretty quickly that he is definitely not differently abled and shouldn't be there. And it's like, then they just give him nothing but shit.
Good.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch this.
Not good movie, well, but...
yeah.
Really fucking... interesting.
When the fuck did we get ice cream?
Oh, that's what that's from.
Yes.
Holy shit. Okay.
And
oh, like, my Lanta.
This looks like a, I'm kind of stressed and I just need to maybe decompress a little bit and maybe have a little bit of a cry if they do it right. But like,
this is a plane movie if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, that's a...
This is a movie that you watch on a plane and you realize, oh, wait, apparently I'm going to cry on a plane in front of the
over Johnny.
But at least I got to see Bobby Lee and Mo Amer.
Well, where else am I going to watch this?
Bobby Lee is fucking everywhere. Like, maybe it's just because I finally, like, know who he is. And I don't mean that in any kind of rude way. I just, he never registered as, like, an actor that I noticed until I saw him in Res Dogs and went, oh, that's the doctor from Res Dogs. Like, mm-hmm. You know.
I was happy to see Mo Amer in this because I watched all of his sitcom that was on Netflix, Mo. And it was really funny. He's the guy that's running the halfway home.
Cool. Okay. Nice.
And then Theo Vaughn's also in it. I keep recognizing him from something that I cannot. I tried to look it up earlier and I could not for the life of me know what it is. But he's apparently in my brain.
We've talked about the death of the mid-budget movie. And this kind of feels like a mid-budget movie.
I feel like all of these movies should have been mid-budget movies that we're talking about today, but I feel like they're not. This is the only one that's allowed to be a mid-budget movie.
Except for Rebel Moon, because Rebel Moon, like, I don't think... Yeah, I still think it looked pointless,
okay,
but, like,
the mid-budget... The mid-budget version of this is hilarious.
The mid-budget movie version of Rebel Moon would be so much more enjoyable to me.
Starship Troopers, maybe? No, that was a big-budget movie.
Okay, now I'm curious what the budget of Rebel Moon is. I'm looking this up real quick before we say goodbye to this episode.
$700 million.
Oh my god, I know Netflix put a lot of money down on it.
That's way too much. I don't know how much budgets are anymore. $700 million is way too much. I feel, hopefully, please tell me
that's
way
like
too
a
much.
Disney budget, or that's like a Marvel budget, and even that they're not doing anymore because they did a couple of bombs.
Right.
Sad they announced they're not going to make a Captain Marvel 3.
Oh, bummer.
They've been planning, but after Marvel's bombed.
Because nobody fucking knew it came out.
Except for bad people who decided that they wanted to make it bomb. No, I get you. It did fucking great on streaming, but no one wants to go to fucking theaters anymore. Like, which including me.
Well, yeah, kind of, because our theaters, like, we have 3 theaters in this town, and 2 of them kind of suck.
And it's a 45-minute fucking drive home afterwards. That's like... anyway,
so the number I'm finding is 166 million, but that's both parts.
That's way small. I was expecting it to be like that for one of them.
Same. If you would have told me part 2 is 166 million, 100% believe it.
Yeah, like give them 100 million and then 166 for the second one. Like, I get that. That makes sense. That seems
166 for both actually kind of seems like a steal.
The first one.
No, I mean, they are probably stealing people's labor.
Yeah.
Mostly digital effects artists, but yeah.
Well,
bummer note and on about that.
Well,
sorry.
And with that.
Bye. 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 I don't know if we've ever had so many high profile trailers that I've had less to say about in one go.
Well, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, maybe, every time I say that, this is like a 45-minute episode, but also we don't have Steven here, so it might actually be like the length we intended.
Well, we'll see. Well, what order do we want to do these in?
Real quick, welcome General Nerder Trailers. Oh, Zach, right. Tyler, yada, yada, yada. Yep. No,
he's
you're
Zach.
Fine.
I'm Tyler.
It's okay.
We're here to talk about trailer. I mean, I guess people might have just let it autoplay, but I'm assuming you clicked on it knowing what we're doing.
Yeah. I'm told we're supposed to say that every episode.
No, that's true. It's actually very good practices to be doing that every episode.
We're just so, like, offensively lazy about it in the trailer episodes that I kind of love. Okay, so what did we watch? We watched Acolyte.
Yep.
Alien.
Alien Romulus.
Doctor Who.
Yes.
Marvel 1943.
Yeah, 1943, The Rise of Hydra.
And Ark.
The animated series. Did it have like a colon something? Was it Ark something or was it just Ark?
I don't know. Let's just do this one first as we're going on it.
Yeah, I never played the game, so.
It was like 30 seconds long. It looks like there's cool dinosaurs, which I watched someone play Ark for half an hour once and it looked like there were cool dinosaurs.
Yeah, this looks fine. Like, I'm would be more interested in it had I played the game, but
it's a fucking stacked cast.
Yeah. Crazy amount of voices in it.
Vin Diesel, Gerard Butler. I saw others. There was like 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
It did get me on one of those. Like, that's cool. But I also wish that like we didn't put as much emphasis on stunt casting as much as we do and would like let voice actors get these bigger roles.
Mm-hmm. But like, also I'm guessing that most of these people are in there for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're just really trying to make sure to sell the product by using their names everywhere they can.
I might watch this because dinosaurs are involved and I already have Paramount.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's about as deep as it goes.
What's next up the ladder? What
should we did 1943 before. Let's do 1943.
Yeah. Like I'm interested in this game because I like Mark Bernardin, who is one of the writers on this game.
I know that name.
He's Kevin Smith's co-host on Fat Man Beyond.
Okay.
He also did, oh God, why can't I think of the name of it now? That the comic about the autistic girl that I recommended that one time.
Oh, yeah, okay. I don't remember what it's called either, but yes.
I don't know why it's completely blank. Like I'm
you'll think of it right as now. Soon as we finish recording. It's okay.
Yeah. And he's done, like, a bunch of other things. He used to be, like, an entertainment journalist, and, like, he... Did you read Shutterbug? I know you read a lot more comics than me.
I did not, but I've heard of it. Yeah, I don't know if I've read much Bernardin. I just know that his name pops up.
Yeah, so because he also wrote, like, The Amazing Shutterbug. He wrote the Mace Windu story that I think is currently dropping.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good for him. Oh, if he wrote Star Wars comics, that's where I've heard of him then. Okay.
He's just now starting to do Star Wars comics for the most part. I think he had like a Vader one shot like a year ago too.
Oh, cool. Good for him. Anyways, this is 1943, The Rise of Hydra, and it is a Captain America Black Panther.
But it's like Grandpa Black Panther.
Yeah, I was thinking because it used to be like, I knew your dad.
Mm-hmm.
We should really move that up to I knew your granddad.
Yeah, that's what this one point is. It's not.
It's not T'Chaka. It's whoever the hell was T'Chaka's
dad. I think his name starts with an A. Azarek, something like that. Cool. I'd have to look it up. But...
So we don't see much here yet.
Anyway, from what I understand, from those four main characters at the trailer sort of centers on Cap, Black Panther, the Black Soldier, and the gal.
The Black Soldier should be, if they not, Gabriel Jones, who was a member of...
I'd have to look that up.
I don't know, but Nick Fury's Howling Commandos, one of the members was Gabe Jones, and he worked with Cap, so it would make sense if they want it. I mean, they don't have to, but...
But I think it's all... Oh, it is Gabriel Jones.
I'm sorry, who was the fourth one?
It's Cap, Azuri, that's the name of the Black Panther.
Okay.
Gabriel Jones and Nanali, the leader of the Wakandan spy network. They're all going to be playable characters at different points during the campaign.
Interesting. I desperately hope Gabriel Jones doesn't become MJ in the Spider-Man games. I you've still not played those.
I still have not.
It is the, hey, we're doing these cool ass superhero missions, and now we're going to play a civilian that takes some pictures. And so she has to sneak around and take some pictures.
Lame.
Also, to be fair, MJ fucking rules in that game. She's such a good character. But anytime I had to play MJ, it just like grinds the pacing to a halt.
Yeah, because I haven't played the game, but that's quite a change.
I am here to be Spider-Man right now. Yes. No, I'm with. So my only concern is if they do something like that. I didn't see much gameplay in this.
No, me either.
I think I saw maybe like 10 seconds that could have been gameplay, which made it look like it runs somewhere between Spider-Man and Assassin's Creed, which is fucking great.
Yeah, I'll be curious once they actually release a gameplay trailer. But like I said, I'm kind of in it anyway, just to see how Mark does with writing. So
it looks like it could be a good game. But yeah, anytime there's a cinema trailer, like on one level, that's what you want. So you have an idea of what the fucking game is going to be. But on the other, I still have no idea what the game is going to be. I just know that it's Cap and Black Panther not getting along. Fighting Hydra.
At first, at least.
Yeah, no, they're going to be buddies by the end. And they will probably, at some point, do the, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, hand grab at some. But,
Oh, that's going to be great when they do,
too. Oh, I'm going to fucking be into it. Don't get me wrong. Alien. Sorry, unless you have
something. Well, I was going to say, before we get to maybe the two better trailers, let's go the middle ground with Beetlejuice.
Oh, sure. I know I've seen Beetlejuice. I was a kid. I have not seen it since.
I actually rewatched it. I was about to say not too long ago, but then I realized that time isn't real anymore. And it was probably
like getting 5 years
pretty close. Not that long, but probably getting closer to 2 years ago now. But Marge had never seen it. So we watched it together. Not all that long ago within memory.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're doing better than me.
And it's fine. Like, I still liked it, and I do feel like it is one of the Tim Burton movies that benefit from being a Tim Burton movie.
There's like 4 of those.
Yeah.
Oddly, Big Fish is one of them.
Right. Very oddly, but I'm glad. It's definitely one of the ones that benefits from being a Tim Burton movie. But I sort of, upon that rewatch, realized that most of my affection for Beetlejuice actually comes from the cartoon rather than the movie.
100% of any affection I have for Beetlejuice comes from the cartoon.
And so, like, I'm sure this is going to be fine. But I'm not exactly excited for it.
That explains why Jenna Ortega and Alfred Miller and Miles Gow are all involved, because they all worked with Tim Burton on Wednesday.
Oh, right. Right.
Which Miller and Gow made Smallville, so I kind of love them. And I really liked Wednesday. So seeing that these people are involved, cool. I would also just rather watch Wednesday, though.
And I do not have as turgid of a nostalgia boner for Michael Keaton as a lot of people seem to have. But, like, I'm going to be excited to see him as a character again.
He has always been really openly fond of playing Beetlejuice, so that's what I'm like. It's fun when an actor who you know loves playing a role gets to play the role again. Like, so even if I don't really care too much one way or the other, I'm not being like mean to him either about the actor or the character, it's cool that he gets to do this,
right?
And it sounds like they're doing as like so many practical effects.
I will say the one thing I have, other people have already started complaining about this. It hasn't bothered me yet until this moment. But the trend of the slowed down songs in trailers, this is the one that finally made my eyes roll when I heard the fucking slowed down Deo at the beginning for the Banana Boat song.
Yeah.
I was like, I get it, but
there's places where it works, but you've definitely done it too much. It's in the same way that I love using classic rock and stuff. But I'm starting to be like, who is the actress from the original Beetlejuice whose name is super well known and I can't think of her name?
Are we talking Winona Ryder?
Yes, Winona Ryder. No, I was very much beating myself up for not thinking of her name. It's weird to me that her character is still all gothy.
Yeah, but cool.
Yeah, more power to it. I'm just like, wow, that's dedication. Like, I don't keep my look from high school, and I mostly just wore jeans and a t-shirt back then.
Mm-hmm.
I still wear lots of t-shirts and less jeans anymore, but still.
I'm going to be excited to see this at home when it comes to streaming.
No way in hell am I going to go to a theater to watch this movie, but...
Unless it suddenly gets like the craziest good word of mouth ever. If suddenly it comes out and everyone's like,
Actually, they knocked it out of the park.
I'd be like, okay, I'm willing to go check it out. Because if everyone's saying they knocked it out of the park and it's Beetlejuice and I don't have anything against Beetlejuice, I'll check it out. But I'm not going to like go out of my way to do it.
Anytime there's a movie like this where I'm like, I don't care, but it looks fine. I feel like I need to like apologize to the audience for it. Which brings us to Alien.
Alien Romulus. I'm pretty stoked for this.
I could not care less about this movie.
I'm excited anytime I see that Fede Alvarez is getting a new movie, because he was the one that did the 2013 Evil Dead remake, and that movie fucking slaps.
Oh, you love that movie, yeah.
That fucking remake slaps real fucking hard.
The main thing I remember is people being like, that movie was a little harder, more hardcore than I was expecting it to be. They make the facehuggers look like a real threat, and they haven't in probably since the first movie. And even then, it was only a threat because it was one of the best jump scares.
So I did, when this trailer dropped, so did some other press alongside, and I happened to just be like online while it dropped, and I was like, oh cool, Fede Alvarez, I'll read this little interview. It's only like fucking five paragraphs anyway. The thing this trailer doesn't get across that also has me a little bit more excited is, for the first time, I'm trying to think through my Alien movies again, but it's just like colonists encountering the aliens.
The first ones were like miners or something like that. Like they were not Marines or anything. The second one was Marines. The third one was prisoners. The fourth one was a ragtag group of mercenaries led by Ron Perlman, which is why that's my favorite of those movies. And I never saw anything. I saw Alien vs. Predator 2, and I have very rarely been so angry that I was watching a movie.
But yeah, I guess the idea behind it was he was watching the deleted scenes of Alien, and there's like a scene with just like some kids rolling around on the ship on like big wheels. And he's like, he started just like getting in his own head of like thinking of what that existence is. Like, you're a colonist kid. You're the first wave, or maybe technically second wave. Your parents are first wave. And your whole existence is you're there to take over your parents' job because the terraforming on this planet isn't going to be done for another 100 years.
That's almost more interesting to me than actually like, and now the aliens attack.
Yeah, but I guess he's like, okay, so like what happens when that kid is now like a young adult? Now what happens when they run into the aliens? Because we know that they're out there.
Okay. That sold me on this movie more than this. And this trailer does not look bad. It's pretty in a, you know, alien horror kind of way.
It feels claustrophobic enough for me to be sold on it.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm going to be able to outrun anything. I feel like I'm trapped in a corridor.
Yeah. My favorite alien story is my first roommate, his dad, when Alien came out. Not knowing what that movie was, took a bunch of acid and went to the theater.
Oh, no.
And everyone's response is that, except he apparently had a great fucking time. So.
All right.
Good for you, man.
All right. Doctor Who?
This is the one I'm most excited for. Now, you've still not seen any of the...
No, I'm still... So... I'm sure I'll end up getting into this more in the upcoming months in our other show, or the longer version, not just the main show.
But I am taking it upon myself to finally get caught up on a whole bunch of shit that I've let fall behind. And well, it's been great so far, but one of those things is Doctor Who, and I'm actually super excited to have just like a big chunk of Doctor Who to go through.
Yeah, because you never finished Capaldi, I don't think.
I think I technically finished Capaldi, but I barely remember the end of his run.
You gotta rewatch that last season, then. It's so fucking good. Oh, because we did watch one episode of that once, because you just, it's The Water Lady, and you said it was one of the best like horror movies you'd watched in a while, which, considering your life, was saying a lot. In my life, that's saying literally nothing. But my friend who does not like Disney sent me this like, "Ugh, Disney got their hands on Doctor Who." I was like, okay, first of all, I run a nerd podcast. Catch the fuck up if we're going to have this conversation in 2024. And then second of all, do not get me into how respectfully they've treated like the past history of Doctor Who.
Oh, and the fact that they put out one of the best trailers that I've seen in a while. That was just a really well-done trailer.
Have you seen Shooty in anything else?
No.
I've not seen anything else. I keep meaning to watch Sex Education, and I know he's in Barbie. I don't know how much he's in Barbie. He's not, like, the main cast, but...
Right.
Yeah. Holy shit, that man is compelling.
So far from this trailer, he looks like the most human doctor.
Yeah?
Like, he's kind of just like a bro that knows what he's doing with the machine.
He's hot, first of all. Let's just get this out of the way. Like, I am mostly straight. He's hot. And my wife is super crushing on him. And every time I'm like, yeah, I 100% get it. We don't disagree. I don't know if I would say he's more human than like 10. 10 was extremely. But like, so far at least, he doesn't. I mean, honestly, without getting too much into it, he's sort of if 10 had therapy.
Oh, okay.
So.
I like that. 10 could have used therapy.
Yeah. And, welcome to a big plot line of some of the episodes you haven't seen yet. And like, I know there will be dark stuff, and there's already been some, I mean, it's Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. You can't, but, he's the most joyful the Doctor has been in a while. And considering how good Jodie was at being like, this is amazing, let's figure some shit out. That's like saying a lot. Mm-hmm. And he's a doctor that seems more in touch with himself, which you kind of get through some of this. Heidi's been on like all but one of the Doctor Who episodes we've done over the years.
Yep.
Obviously, you know this, but she and I were talking about it, and we did notice they seem to be a lot less concerned with quote unquote fixed points in time.
Yeah.
In this than we're used to, because they have a lot of like anything is possible when you can change time. While up to now, it's always been like, technically we can change time, but like, ooh, you gotta be fucking careful. And they seem not worried about it. I also enjoy them. I mean, we knew some of this because I read press releases or like short interviews, but if not, it's a good intro of it, of we hear Kate Lethbridge-Stewart, who you have probably met, but okay. Being like, things seem to be turning more supernatural. I knew that was coming, but I appreciate that it seems to be just like a plot point that shit seems to be coming more supernatural. I mean, we had goblins last episode, and they still did the like, it's a form of science. But it would have been weird if they were just now like witches, and not like the weird science witches that we had like episodes and episodes or seasons and seasons ago, but now just like straight up magic. But like, if we start to introduce something's happening and something's like changing the universe and bringing more of that out, that's an interesting plot point to put the Doctor in.
Yes. Yeah.
And Moffat, and I actually love most of Moffat's run, but had he played so heavily with the doctor is like the guy who's done everything, knows everything. And that's great. It made for some interesting stories and made the doctor like really dangerous and kind of compelling on why is he doing all this. But the doctor not knowing stuff humanizes him and makes him easier to relate to, even when he is this weird, almost god character.
Well, I'd say the biggest criticism, or one of the biggest criticisms of Moffat's time as showrunner, was that he introduced it feeling more fairy tale-ish without it being a plot point. It was suddenly just more of a fairy tale.
See, and I kind of loved that, but I also understood. I understand the criticism. Mm-hmm. It worked really well with 11. It didn't always work with 12. It's fine. He really pushed the doctor into a mythological being, though, even if it's a science myth or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this seems to be taking more efforts to humanize him again. I've watched the shooty episode, the one shooty episode that's come out, enough times that I can't watch it again until the new ones come out, unless someone who hasn't seen it comes over to my house, because I can't keep doing this to my wife. We have all my days off aligned with her days off now, and I love it. I absolutely adore it. Don't get me wrong, but I did not realize how much I did my like ADHD rewatching things I'm already comfortable with when she's not there,
mm-hmm,
until I did not have that space anymore. And I'm like, I want to, nope. Nope, I've made CC watch that a lot already. I can't do that. Like,
yeah.
This has a sense of fun that I'm really into, but like, I mean, it's Doctor Who. We know there's going to be some dark shit going down. I guess the Acolyte?
Acolyte. I'm still like super in for this, just because like Sith, High Republic,
I'm super in for the High Republic stuff. I fucking love the High Republic stuff that I've read. I am not against the idea of a Sith protagonist. I am concerned that we're going to have a Paul Moadib problem here. Of people mistaking protagonist for good guy. Like, the Joker was right memes or whatever.
Look, so the thing is, all the people that might take the wrong message from it,
we're going anyways.
No, I think are already protesting against it.
That's a fair point.
Because okay. It's Disney Star Wars
and a woman
and not. And 90% of the cast isn't white males.
I've already seen people, obviously, but like already seen people complaining. They're like, it's because white males are the guys that like Star Wars. You got to get out of your basement more often, dude.
Yeah, it was. I think I didn't look it up today to find out. I know like going into the weekend, I think it actually had more dislikes than likes on YouTube. But when you actually took that number against the amount of views, it was like 0.2%.
I don't think I've ever liked or disliked a YouTube video in my life. So the trailer itself, it's a Star Wars trailer. There's a bunch of Jedi. Something is coming.
Admittedly, one of the things I need to get caught up on is Ahsoka. So I don't know how much more force powers are being used in that. But I am excited to finally get to a show where there's, like, it's very Jedi-centered, so there's force powers all over the fucking place. Like, they're using it to open fucking doors. Like, they're just like...
Yeah, well, and even, like, you know, Ahsoka has multiple force users, so it does have more force powers than we're used to seeing. But this is the Jedi... Literally, the High Republic is the Jedi at the height of their powers. This is the end of the High Republic. They have crested the wave, and it's all downhill from here. Obviously, they don't know that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not going to be, you know, fucking King Arthur. It's going to be the end of the Camelot, whatever. But even in the prequel trilogy, when there was fucking Jedi up the wazoo, the Jedi are losing their connection to the Force. Yes, they never actually did much with that plot line other than, like, mention it once or twice so people could go, see? But, like, yeah, it'll be so interesting to see the Jedi who aren't a dying breed or have lost all it means to be what it means to be Jedi or blah, 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 you know.
Also, there was only like 2 seconds of him, but I'm curious what's going on with the Wookiee.
Looked like a Wookiee Jedi.
Yeah.
Which means it might be Briaga, which I fucking love. At least one of these is a Jedi from, I believe, one of the comics or possibly one of the books from the High Republic.
Oh, okay.
So there is some crossover, which is cool. I don't think there's a lot. They're pretty determined that this is a standalone kind of thing. But yeah, it looked like a Wookiee Jedi, which makes me laugh because George Lucas had this weird nut against Wookiee Jedi.
Go fuck yourself. Wookiee Jedi are awesome.
There was a, in the Young Jedi Adventures, it was a series of young adult novels about Han and Leia's kids.
Mm-hmm.
They had Wookiee's Chewie's nephew, Lobaka, which I know. Lowy for short.
Oh, Lowy.
Yeah, I know. It's not great. But who was a young Jedi. And then George Lucas literally was like, no, no more Wookiee Jedi. You can't do it. And they had to write him like almost falling to the dark side and having to go away to Dagobah for a while. So he wouldn't have to.
Give me a Simon the Killer Ewok, then.
Lucas was so fucking weird.
Do we have anything more for
trailers? I don't think so.
Cool, well.
Bye.
Hi, everybody. General Tyler here. If you like the show, please hit subscribe however you're listening to us right now. Also, if you could rate and review us however you're listening to us right now, or preferably over at Apple Podcasts, we would super appreciate it, as the whole world is ran on algorithms, and we want to be all up in them, getting our voice out to more places. Also, I mean, tell your friends, we always appreciate that. If you want to get in contact with us, ask us questions, give us comments, email us generalnerderypod@gmail.com. You can also contact us through our website, www.generalnerdcast.com. While you're there, check out all of our back catalog or click the links up at the top, as we are part of the Earworm Podcast Network. Go check out all of our sister shows. We're involved with most of them, so if you already like listening to us talk, it might be in your best interest. And if you want to check out everything from the network, head over to earworm.com, EARVVYRM.com. We'd super appreciate it. Love you all. Have a good one.